Good morning. I'd like to thank the saints here at Stark Road for the privilege of opening the Word of God with you. We're going to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to John and chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. I think there are plenty of exceptions on either side of the border, but sometimes people have told me that one of the defining differences of Canadian culture is that we expect people to take off their shoes when they enter the house. And I noted carefully when I entered the house here yesterday, where I am receiving kind hospitality, that we did keep our shoes on, but there was still a mat at the door. At both doors, you're still expected to wipe your feet, wipe the dirt off of your shoes, so that we're not dragging dirt through the house. The Lord doesn't like dirty feet either. Now, what I say today is going to be just a basic reminder for many of you, I know, but it's also a principle that I think is really, really important for young believers to grasp, and maybe on my heart in this first session is people that are maybe in the age group of 14 or 15 or 16 years of age. I know there are plenty of you here, and we're glad to have you here, and I'd like to focus my comments there. John 13 is the chapter where the Lord Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And we're not going to think so much about you washing the feet of others, but of you having your feet washed. So we'll consider the Lord's teaching here and also see it pictured in the Old Testament. John 13, verse number 4, He, the Lord Jesus, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know, you will understand later. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You have no share with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash me all over. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Now, if you have another translation, or maybe the margin of your Bible would indicate that we've just read two distinct words for washed. So it says this really, verse number 10. Jesus saith to him, The one who has bathed, that's the first word, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is entirely clean. And ye are clean, but not all. You're not all clean, because Judas is there, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. 11 of the disciples were entirely clean as a result of having been bathed. They were washed all over already. And having been bathed, the bath of conversion, they were entirely clean. But the Lord says someone that is entirely clean still needs to have their feet washed. Now, the chapter gives us very valuable lessons on humble, self-sacrificing service. We're going to focus on a spiritual lesson contained in the words. It's obviously intended by the Lord Jesus, because he says, if your feet aren't washed, you have no part with me. That's a bit of an extreme statement if he was just talking about having a little bit of mud on your shoes. So we're going to talk about having our feet washed. But before we get to the issue of washing your feet, there's another important question. Have you ever had a bath? Well, you say, yes, absolutely. I mean, I had one. It must have been April or May. I had a bath, I remember. Well, that's lovely. It's a lovely thought. Many times, you say, Well, that's good. Maybe actually if there's some very young children here, maybe some 5 or 6 or 7 year olds, you can take from John 13, the next time you have bath night, you can tell your parents very respectfully that according to John 13, the Lord Jesus says you only ever need to have one bath. One bath is good for life. That's the bath of conversion. Somebody that has been bathed only needs to wash their feet. They are clean every whit. They are completely clean. The bath of conversion, the water of that spiritual bath, cleaned you and made you new. The water cleaned you. You say, but I thought it was the blood of Christ that cleansed me. I know I've been cleansed by blood. I thought it's the blood of Christ that makes us clean. Well, you're right. You are right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that through his blood we have forgiveness. In Romans chapter 5, we're justified by his blood. And so the blood of Christ has dealt with the guilt of your sin. But from the side of the Lord Jesus, when they plunged that spear into his side on the cross, there wasn't only blood that came out, there was water. And John 13 isn't speaking about forgiveness and justification. And the scriptures don't only speak about cleansing by blood, but also by water. You get the same word as this word for bath in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing, the bathing of water by the word. Or Titus chapter 3 says, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, by his mercy he has saved us by the washing, the bath of regeneration. That's the new birth, the washing of the new birth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That was a bath of being born again. And maybe that brings to your mind a more familiar passage like John chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in that context of being born again, of being regenerated, of having new life, the Lord Jesus says, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now think about those words in Titus and Ephesians and in John. Born again, regenerated, cleansed, renewal. They all have this idea of a fresh start. That's what water does for us. It cleans us, renews, gives a fresh start. You wear your clothes, they get dirty. You don't throw them out. You wash them in water and you can wear them again. Or you have dishes. And if they're not paper plates, you use paper plates at conference. That's okay. You can get away with that then. But regularly, you use other plates, and then you put them through the dishwasher, and after they've come out of the water, they are clean. You use them again. Or when you have a literal bath or a shower in literal, physical water, you say, that's a great way to start the day. And you come out of the shower, and you feel rejuvenated, refreshed, renewed, ready to start the day. It's like starting all over again. That's what the bath of conversion has done for you. God has given you a fresh start. You have been cleaned and all that dirt has been washed away. And in the language of 2 Corinthians 5, you are a new creation in Christ. In the language of John chapter 13, the one who has bathed is completely clean. You're washed. It's great to be saved. I know that doesn't mean that we're instantly perfect. We're still living in a sinful body, but you don't need to continue to live a sinful life. You certainly don't need to feel guilty or dirty in the presence of God because you've been washed of your sin. He that is bathed only needs to wash his feet. He is completely clean. The blood of Christ has dealt with your guilt, and the water has made you new. Let me give you one other. If you're someone that's taking notes, make a note of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. This is a great verse. Hebrews 10 and 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That is a sprinkling by blood. But then he says our bodies are washed. Same word there in John 13 and 10. Our bodies are bathed. Were they washed? Were we bathed in blood? No. Nobody in the Bible was bathed in blood. Washed with pure water. You say, was that my baptism? No. Maybe you were baptized in a lake and the water probably wasn't really very clear if you really want to know. Or maybe the baptismal tank might have been a rotten old tank and that might have not been the purest water either. This is our conversion. When we were spiritually washed with spiritual water. Bodies washed with pure water. And if you're familiar with Hebrews, it wouldn't surprise you to learn that the teaching of Hebrews has in its background the tabernacle and the Old Testament priesthood. If there's anybody here new to the faith, remember the tabernacle was this tent-like structure that God had designed for the people of Israel in their system of ancient worship as they journeyed through the wilderness. When they were finally settled in the land, they had a physical building a little while later, a temple. But as they journeyed through the wilderness, different spots, God wants them worshiping along their journey so they could set up a tent and take down a tent. That is the tabernacle. And inside that tent, there were two compartments. There's a holy place, a lampstand, a table, and an altar. And then there's the holiest of all with that little ark, that box that represented God's presence. But outside the tent, still sort of fenced in, was a courtyard. And you would enter into that courtyard, and the first thing that you would see, you couldn't miss it, there was a huge altar where they would have their animal sacrifices. And then between the altar and the tent, there was a basin, a laver, a basin. A tub of water. It was only the priests that would use that basin. It was only the priests that would go inside the tabernacle. Now, we're going to turn to that in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to mark the page in John 13 or keep your finger there and remember two things from John 13. The bath of conversion, trusting the Lord Jesus, has made you entirely clean. But don't forget verse number 8 also. The Lord Jesus says, if your feet are not regularly washed, he says you have no share with him. Let's read this illustration of the priesthood in Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29. Verse number 1, this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to sanctify them, to consecrate them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. This is how somebody was ordained as a priest, how they began as a priest. Look at verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door, the entrance of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. There's our word for bath. They were to be washed all over. So to commence their priesthood, they were bathed entirely with water. Now turn over to chapter 30, verse number 17. Instructions are repeated here. Verse 17, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver, a basin of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the bronze altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them. even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. All right, so you've got the altar. And between the altar where they offer their animal sacrifices, between that and the actual tent is this basin of bronze. And the priests were to wash their hands and their feet. But in becoming a priest, at the very commencement of their priesthood, they had a bath. They were washed all over at that basin. To enter the priesthood, they needed a bath. And having had that bath, along with the rest of the ritual, now they are priests. Now they are eligible to serve the Lord. And that's you, young believer. You couldn't serve the Lord in your sins. But once you are saved, you have become, with that bath of spiritual cleansing at your conversion, that has brought you into the priesthood of God's family. And every believer is a priest. Male and female, young and old, you are part of the holy priesthood, the royal priesthood. You can offer sacrifices to God. You can represent God. So just like the priests of the Old Testament, you now have the liberty to serve and worship God. But sometimes, just like them, your feet are going to get dirty. Spiritual defilement. But you're still a priest. If you've had the bath, you're clean, you're entirely clean, but your feet still sometimes get dirty. And you want to worship and serve God, and you know that cleanliness is important to God. And if we want to worship and serve God effectively, we need this regular cleansing of our feet at the basin. You notice how God emphasizes this, what we've read in Exodus chapter 30. He says, verse 18, make the basin for washing. Verse 19, Aaron and his sons shall wash. Verse 20, before they come into the tabernacle, they shall wash. Verse 21, if they're going to come and serve at the altar, they shall wash. He wants to make sure they get the point. They need to be washed regularly. Every time they're going in the tent, every time they're coming to the altar, it's a regular washing. It's important. He says in verse number 20, if they don't wash, they will die. Verse 21, if they don't wash, they will die. They're already bathed, they're priests, but there's no participation in the service of worshiping God without a regular washing. And if they tried to do it, they would die. See, that's pretty intense. I say, well, I'm glad I'm not a priest. But you are a priest, right? We've been there. You say, well, I'm really glad that purity isn't important in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament. But it is. Now, admittedly, the threat of death isn't just as plain and clear, but I wonder if we have a worse danger. Because to believers in the New Testament, the Lord says, you need to have your feet washed or else you have no part, no share with me. It doesn't say you will die, but he's saying you're not going to enjoy the fellowship. And so I may continue to try and serve, but my worship is going to be compromised. My service is not going to be effective because I'm not clean. My feet haven't been washed. And to God, cleanliness is very important. Now, another background, a more local custom to that background of the teaching in John chapter 13 is the idea of somebody being invited to a feast or a banquet. So let's say you get invited to a friend's home and you know they're going to have a lovely feast at a lovely table, and you want to make sure that you go looking nice and smelling nice. So before you leave your home, you have a bath and you're washed all over. And then you walk through the dusty streets of Jerusalem with your sandals, and you get to this lovely home ready for a lovely meal, and the servant greets you at the door and he looks down and he sees your filthy feet. Well, he's not going to give you a bath. He knows you've had the bath, but he's going to make sure that your feet are washed before you sit down and enjoy sharing that meal at the table. That's the idea. We've had the bath, we've been cleaned, but if we're really going to enjoy this life with the Lord, if we're going to enjoy a rich fellowship with him, and serve Him and worship Him from the heart, in sincerity, effectively, with fruit for God, we need to have our feet cleansed. And so God is teaching us that worshiping and serving the Lord is a holy business. And we're not going to become holy just in our own best efforts. We're not going to become holy by being determined, I'm going to try really hard not to sin today. I mean, the priests in the tabernacle, they weren't purified by being extra careful. They weren't cleansed by saying, okay, this time when we offer this bull, I'm going to make sure there's no blood splattering anywhere. No. Or Aaron, can you order us some sterile gloves? I don't want to get my hands dirty at the altar. Or when I'm walking through the courtyard, I'm just going to tiptoe through the dirt to make sure that my feet don't get dirty. No. That's not how the priests were purified. They were purified at the basin. The basin wasn't so much a vessel where they were serving God. They served God at the lampstand. They served God at the altar. But the basin, this tub of water, was something that was there for them, to enable them to serve God. And in John chapter 13, it's not even the disciples washing their own feet. They are purified. They are cleansed as the Lord Jesus bends down to wash their feet. And listen. The same Lord Jesus wants to bend down and wash your feet and make you clean, because He wants you to be clean that you may serve Him all the better, that you may walk with Him all the closer. He wants you to have clean feet. It's important to the Lord. So the layout of this tabernacle, you come in and right away there's this massive altar where they offered those animal sacrifices. And that altar points us to the cross where Christ was sacrificed for us. So we love the altar. It's a huge altar, and it tells us how great the work of Christ was. And we think that's wonderful. And we rejoice at the altar. And we say, yes, salvation is a wonderful thing. And the work of Christ is a great thing. We love the altar. But God wants us to move beyond the altar. Not in the sense that we forget it, but we're not supposed to stop at the altar, because we have been invited into the priesthood. And now that we've experienced salvation at the altar, He also wants us to experience sanctification at the basin. So the basin is pointing us to that truth that we sometimes forget or overlook, the need for us to be sanctified, made clean. The need for spiritual cleanliness to serve and worship and enjoy God. Cleanliness is important to the Lord. But you and I live in a very defiling world. Don't be deceived. It is a dirty world. And we need the ministry of the basin. We need our feet washed regularly. So we've thought of the concept of the bath, and we've seen it illustrated in this Old Testament priesthood. I want you to understand now that the ministry of the basin, this washing of our feet, is not so much, I'm going to make just a fine point of distinction here. It's not so much for explicit sins, but for defilement that we will contract just walking through the world. Okay, it's not so much for explicit sins that I have committed as it is for cleansing defilement that we will contract in walking through the world. Just think of the priest for a moment. The priest didn't do anything wrong to require them going to the basin, right? It was just a given. They were going to get their feet dirty walking around, and they're going to get blood splattered being there at the altar. So the basin wasn't to deal with them being disobedient, but just defilement that they were bound to contract. And it's the same with the Lord washing our feet. This isn't so much John 13, the emphasis of the teaching isn't our confessing our sin. That's obviously needful and relevant. But let me give you this quotation from another Bible teacher of yesteryear, Albert Leckie. Feet washing is necessary and must be repeated because of daily defilement. This is not so much washing from positive sin, but the washing away of everything that is unworthy of God and unsuited to his presence. The washing away of everything that is unworthy of God and unsuited to his presence. The world is a defiling place, and our feet get dirty as we walk through it. Maybe it's a billboard that just displays a scene of sensuality or immodesty. Or it's language that you hear all around us that is blaspheming God and mocking him. Or it's values of greed and consumerism that just seem to pervade our culture and seep into our minds. It's advertisements that you see and hear that twist our perspective and our goals. It's an entertainment world that is meant to cater to our flesh that glorifies sin. Maybe it's filthy language that you hear at the lunch table at school, or it's a mindset of your peers that is just fixated on the here and now and the things of the earth and self-satisfaction. And this is all around us, and we're living in it, walking through it. Our feet get dirty. By living in a dirty world, our feet will get defiled. So this defilement is not so much you outright lying or gambling or feeding your lust. It is just you as a creature of sinful flesh walking through this world. Now remember, the Lord Jesus walked through this same world, didn't he? And he didn't get defiled. In John chapter 13, I don't read of anybody washing the Lord Jesus' feet. A spiritual lesson, he didn't need his feet washed. He walked through the same world, but he didn't have the sinful flesh that we have. And it's because of our sinful flesh that we contract defilement as we walk through this world. And our righteous and pure Lord Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. He's not content just to save us. He wants to sanctify us. Can you imagine a priest? Somebody who has just had the bath and he's put on the garments and he's entered the priesthood and he's standing there in the courtyard and he doesn't want to go to the basin. And one of the other priests says, can you go in? It's your turn. It's your time to go in and burn incense at the altar inside the holy place. No, I think I'm just going to lean over here against the linen wall. I'm just going to kind of hang out in the courtyard for a little while. Well, then they need help at the altar. Can you go help burn, offer a sacrifice at the altar? No, I don't think I'm up for it today. If you don't mind, I'm just going to walk around the courtyard. Wasting his life in a sense, isn't he? He's a priest. He's there to offer sacrifices. He's there to enter the holy places. He's supposed to be serving and worshiping God. And he's just wandering around. And sometimes we wander a little bit spiritually. No progress. Going through the motions. And it's not that our position in Christ is compromised. The Lord says, if you've had the bath, you're completely clean. And defilement from the world doesn't cancel that bath. It doesn't change my position in Christ. But defilement from the world, it hinders me from enjoying my life with Christ. So I want you to think about that challenge. I don't want to discourage you. I mean, when you were, maybe you felt a little bit discouraged when you were in your sins and you felt helpless and you wanted to be saved and you couldn't get saved and you felt like there's just no answer. And the Savior came and he cleansed you from your sins. That same Savior will come now and he will bend down and lovingly cleanse and wash your feet. And the issue is, will you let him? The issue is, how much do you want to be sanctified? Will you come to the water? Well, let's spend just a few minutes here on how we are washed, how he washes us with water and what the water points to. And John gives us the answer because John chapter 15, in the same setting, the Lord Jesus says, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. And the water in that basin is pointing us to the word of God. As a general rule, you can tell me if you have some exception, but as a general rule in the Bible, when water is symbolically representing something. If it's running water, flowing water, it's pointing us to the Holy Spirit. And if it's contained water, placid water, like in a basin, that's pointing us to the Word of God. So John chapter 7, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit, flowing water. John chapter 4, drink of the water that I give you, and there will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 13, born of water, even the Spirit. Well, you tell me, you look in the background, you try and find the Old Testament background to the born of the water in John chapter 3, and tell me if that Old Testament background is flowing water or contained water. John chapter 13, it's contained water. Sitting there in a basin, pointing us to the Word of God, like we had in Ephesians 5, that Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the Word. Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man make his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. Are you being regularly washed by the water of the Word? Because that Bible that you hold in your hands is a wonderful thing. That is a beautiful cleansing agent. This is pure water. It's great that you're here at the conference for the weekend to listen to the Word of God. We're glad you're here. And the Word of God being ministered to us, that is part of our cleansing, our washing. So it's our listening to the Word of God. It's our reading the Word of God on our own. Like, just imagine if you've got, I don't know, you've had a hard day and you've been working outside and your feet are dirty and they're aching, and now someone comes with warm water to pour them over your aching feet. And as we walk through this dirty world, it pulls our steps down sometimes into a moral gutter, and we need our feet washed, and the water of the Word lifts us up again. And the world is going to slather us with its slime of corruption. And sometimes we can get so used to the dirt that our perspective gets twisted and we don't even perceive how dirty it really is. That's when we really need the cleansing of the Word. And the Bible reminds us of the purity of the Lord Jesus. And just as the Lord Jesus knelt at the disciples' feet to wash them with water from this basin, he would kneel at your feet, my friend. He would love to kneel at your feet to lovingly wash them with the water of the Word to make you clean. He wants you to be clean. And it's your listening to the Scriptures, it's your own reading of the Scriptures, your meditating upon the Scriptures that refreshes, that renews, that cleanses us. So it's great that you're at the conference, but don't let conferences be, or don't let Sunday ministry be, the only time when you are cleansed by the water of the Word. You need more than that. Because defilement is a daily problem. And regular defilement requires regular cleansing. And if you are outside working it's a rainy day, but some yard work needs to be done, and you're out there working, and your feet are covered in mud, your shoes are covered in mud, and you come inside, and someone says, well, just sit here in the garage, and they bring you a pail of water. That's great. There's a pail of water there in front of you, and you have dirty feet, but that's only really going to benefit you if you apply that water to your feet. That's a great thing when you come home from a defiling world and you arrive back home and there's a Bible on your desk or a Bible on your bed. That's great. But it's only going to cleanse you if you take time to read it and to think about what you're reading. Now, I do want to clarify this. Sometimes I worry we give a bit of a wrong impression. Reading your Bible, It's not like it's going to be a flood experience every time you read your Bible. I don't know if you think, maybe you think that's what happens when Shad and David here read their Bibles, and every time they just come out of their office and they say, well, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. Wow! I just read Ezekiel chapter 34, and I am in awe. Well, maybe sometimes it happens. It won't always feel like that. But it's always good for you. And sometimes maybe you won't even be conscious of that trickle of water upon your spirit, but it's helping and it's cleaning away the dirt. And just as we regularly get defiled, we need regular cleansing through the regular application of the water of the Word. And the Lord Jesus, who carried out the ministry of the basin in John chapter 13, it's wonderful to have the spiritual bath and to be clean. Salvation, though, is more than a deliverance from hell. We want to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And in this dirty world, we need the regular cleansing that the Lord Jesus gives us through his word. Now, I conclude. I just want to give you this encouragement then to conclude, because some of you, I know, find the filth of the world a very discouraging thing. You say, oh, I don't even feel like coming to meeting. I just get so discouraged. Well, you should still come to meeting, but sometimes you feel that it's so dirty and you feel overwhelmed by it. It's great to remember that when we get to heaven, we won't need the ministry of the basin. The book of Revelation transports the church to the glory of heaven. And in describing those glories of heaven, it picks up some of the imagery from the tabernacle. So you read in Revelation about the Ark of the Covenant, and you read about the golden altar of incense, but you don't read in Revelation about the laver or the basin. No, it's not mentioned in Revelation, because when you and I get to heaven, we won't need that regular feet washing. We'll be like the Lord Jesus then. Perfect. Undefiled, but in the meantime, make sure that your feet are regularly washed with the pure water of the Word.
Please turn in your Bibles.